Hello and welcome to the IT News Podcast. Our guest is the Chief Marketing and Innovation Officer for Hospitality Group North's Collective, Robert Lopez. North's Collective is several years into a digital and data transformation, and each year has had a particular theme. 2022 was the year of personalization, 2023 the year of ROI, and now 2024 is the year of AI. In this episode, Lopez reviews the 2023 activity under Project ROI, and looks to the future about how AI will influence the group's operations.
I'd just like to set the scene, I guess, a bit and talk a little bit about the digital and innovation needs of the sector that you're operating in. When I think about hospitality, for example, if I'm thinking about dining establishments, I'm thinking maybe key concerns are about how good the food was or how good the service was. Or if I'm thinking about a gym, I'm thinking about, was the equipment modern? Was the coaching staff really highly skilled and that kind of thing? My sense would be it's maybe slightly more challenging in your sector to mount a business case for a large number of technology or digital innovation projects in terms of the ability of those things to move the needle on some of the things that patrons might care about. I'd really welcome your perspective on how you see that opportunity within the hospitality sector.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks for having me here. So look, we're in the hospitality sector, but even more so, really, we're in the entertainment sector. We compete now more than ever with not just clubs and hotels and pubs and restaurants. We compete with bowling alleys. We compete with day spas. We compete with anywhere that's looking at taking a share of the entertainment dollar from a customer. It's interesting. Back when we started this digital transformation journey, and I'll use it synonymously with data transformation journey, it really was just that. I sort of sat with the CEO, and this is 2018. I said, I'm looking ahead and there's going to be changes coming and we need to take control of our first party data because we're very fortunate being a membership-based organization. We've got about 61,500 financial members at North Collective. And we're very fortunate to have a lot of demographical and transactional data. I said, but where we're lacking is that engagement and behavioral data, because our members expect us to know what they want. They expect us to be able to deliver a product, a service, an experience that they want. And to do that effectively, we really had to harness the power of our first-party data. So I really sold this as a data transformation journey for our organization. I said it starts and ends at data and how we collect, use, store, manipulate our data to help us make better business decisions, but to help us deliver better customer experiences and in turn grow our membership base. And it's interesting because from the day we started to today, we've actually grown our membership base close to 25%. And we turned the lights on to our MarTech stack, this whole digital transformation platform. We turned the lights on initially in August of 2020. Add lockdowns and COVID to the middle of it all, the disruptors, as I like to call them. We've seen great growth. And that is because we've used the data to help us deliver personalized experiences in venues and fitness centers, but also in the digital landscape through hyper-personalization.
Interesting time to launch a MarTech stack, because that was a time when people wanted to spend on entertainment, but potentially couldn't.
Yeah, definitely. And it was a weird time. It really was. We're fortunate to have a membership base and we're fortunate to have been a long-standing community-led organization. We're a profit-for-purpose business. Our profits don't go to owners or a conglomerate. They go back into the betterment of our facilities for our members and back into the community. And it's interesting, since we started this journey, another fun fact, we give back 13% more in community support now than before the journey, equating to about $1.8 million a year in true community support to those who need it most. Because we've got this trust in our community, we sort of were a front of mind venue as people were coming back out of lockdown. They felt safe, comfortable in their local club where they knew familiarity and they knew the people working here. So we did have a bit of a good grounding there in the beginning.
And that kind of goes back to the first question, which is the digital projects that you're doing increase patronage, which increases revenue, which then drives back into the experience that those people are having within your venues.
Yeah, it's a full 360, really. And last year was a really important year, 2023, because that was the sort of brand every year. 2022 was our year of personalization. We were really going deeper in our MarTech stack on personalizing in real time. Last year, 2023, was our year of ROI. And we started working on what we called Project ROI so that we could start creating and delivering systems, platforms, BI tools that would allow us to understand direct and indirect benefits that the organization has received from this digital transformation journey. We're still working on it now. It's obviously always going to be a moving beast, but it's something that a lot of companies really don't overlook, but sometimes they just think it's too hard to prove that this is working. We just know it is because we're making money here that we weren't making, and they just think it just is doing its thing. But we really wanted to go deeper to prove back to our board of directors and our wider team that this was the right decision to partner up with the likes of Boomi and really focus on data at the core of this journey.
So do you want to talk a little bit about Project ROI and just where you're at in terms of what kind of metrics you've been able to draw out of some of the systems and really illustrate what you've done over the past couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. So Project ROI, within that, we've built with one of our partners, we'll call it a mini CRM within our Salesforce ecosystem. That CRM pulls in live data, real data, all of our costs, expenses, our licensing costs, staffing costs, and then it looks at the revenue that we can attribute back to systems that we've put in place. We've introduced a metric. It's not a new metric, but for our company, it was a CLV, or a customer lifetime value. And we've looked at sort of a benchmark before the journey and now, and we've seen a 24% increase in customer lifetime value. Now, I'm an honest person. I'm honest with myself, with my team. Some of that is inflation. So I say, let's just take 7% out of it. Let's take that away. And we're sort of in the high teens still, which is great. And then beginning of this year, now that we've got our system, we're working at really understanding, well, what portion of that can we attribute back to the systems, the tools, and the technology that we've got in play now that is driving that? You know, we launched our app, and it was a 2.5-year project. It's directly integrated with our CRM and our core central source of customer and member truth. And it is delivering value back straight away. We're very much data-driven, and we're membership-based. I mentioned that before. Our members have a membership card. So when they're going up to a point of sale, they swipe their card, and we know that Jack purchased a beer and a schnitzel on this day at this time. We can market effectively to Jack. Now, some of our longer standing venues have very strong carded usage. Around 75-80% of our transactions are carded. At our more boutique modern venues, where there's a younger demographic, they don't carry wallets. There's no membership card in their wallet to swipe. So we sit ranging from 5% to 30% in that realm. One of the key focuses of the app was digitizing the membership card. And it's interesting that we've gone from, I think it was an average of 12% carded rate at our 6 boutique venues to something in the mid 30% now average. Some of them are even reaching 60%. And that's just straight away giving us more data and allowing us to market more effectively and deliver more effective and personalized experiences back to our members.
So I guess just before we go any further, it'd be useful just to understand, I guess, the core systems that are underpinning this particular operation. And I guess maybe if we can split them into buckets of maybe the core and also some of the more specialized systems that need to interact with the core.
So there's a number of systems in play here. And again, it all comes back to data. So at the core of everything, right at the heart of this, is Boomi. And Boomi is our middleware layer. Boomi currently has direct connections with 11 external systems. That's membership-based, point of sale, ticketing, events, gym, feedback, a whole array of systems. And we've got a roadmap to bring in even more systems. So it's sort of the center of everything. It really then feeds into our core MarTech platform stack, which is Salesforce. Within that stack, we've got Salesforce Service Cloud that acts as our CRM. It takes in all of this data, and then offshooting from that is Salesforce Marketing Cloud, where we do all of our real personalized marketing work. We've got Tableau, which is our BI tool in our Salesforce realm, and we've got Heroku, and Heroku is the platform that our app has been built on. All of these together really deliver the full package back to the business, because we are using real-time data to allow us to make real-time decisions to help strengthen the business.
So when did the discussion come up about the integration layer in all of this? I'm especially curious as well, because obviously you're in a really heavily Salesforce stack on the MarTech side of things. They have their own integration layer offering as well. Why you didn't go down the full stack path, why you went in a different direction?
Yeah, it was a new world for us. We play in this sort of hospitality club land, but we are a very innovative club group within this hospitality subsector. But we really were new to this world, and we worked very closely with our original implementation partner to understand what was the best fit for our business. There was a lot of things. There's cost, there's functionality. And functionality-wise, they all pretty much do what we needed them to do. But for the purpose of our business and the scalability of what we wanted the future roadmap to look like, Boomi was definitely the best fit. We like to align align on a values tangent as well with all of the partners we choose to get into a relationship with. And that's why we chose Salesforce over a lot of others, because their core values of trust and innovation and customer success really align with our core values. And it was similar with Boomi. Boomi came to the table and the initial discussions really for us made sense, and they sort of understood who we were. So we were really comfortable bringing Boomi on right in the beginning. It's been a great relationship ever since.
When you said you were new to that space, I didn't get that sense from reading some of the materials that are associated with your use case of the technology. I got more of the sense that you'd done a lot of integrations, or you had a lot of integrations to different systems, but they were one-off and not necessarily managed through a central kind of infrastructure.
I guess the company had siloed systems that spoke through flat file drops and daily pickups and things sporadically, and not really with a lot of methodology behind it. This was really about streamlining everything, but bringing even more data sources into this system. You might have a point of sale speaking to a membership system, and that was happening, but it wasn't going any further than that. It wasn't an overlay of a ticketing platform or a fitness system to give us that real centralized 360 degree view of our members. We weren't getting that. So we were quite infant in terms of integrations. There wasn't a middleware layer. There was direct sort of one-to-one integrations happening, but they definitely weren't sophisticated or advanced enough to deliver back to the business true BI value.
One of the things that struck me when I was reading back on some of your material is that a lot of this setup is very much reminiscent of something that I would expect a much larger size of organization to be talking about and wanting to do, and having some challenges around the way they resource it and the way they put it together. I'm just wondering, just more broadly, if you can speak to what's taking you down this path of this kind of level of technology and digital sophistication within the organization, and what's helping you to, I guess, punch above your weight, in a sense, in that space.
Yeah, I think we've got a great story to tell. I'll start with that. And people can relate to it. I know you hear a lot of companies and a lot of big companies doing big things. And a lot of it, for a lot of those SMEs, it's unrelatable, unattainable, unachievable, and unrealistic for them. So yes, I think we're about a $75 million a year turnover business, but in comparison to the likes of your big four banks and your insurance companies and all these sort of big brands, we are only a bit of a tiny drop in the ocean. I guess from the beginning, when I was doing the investigation piece, and if we talk about our option to go with Salesforce, it wasn't the cheapest option. But I remember sitting with our CEO and I said to him at the end of this year and a half investigation, not going with Salesforce would be like going to McDonald's for a salad. What's the point? We could spend a little bit more and get so much more. So for us, we thought if we're going to do this, we want to make sure we're doing it for the long game. We don't want to go down a path and then 2 years' time realize maybe we could have done better actually, and maybe not quite start again, but have to go back to the drawing board a little bit. It was great because we got really good buy-in from our board of directors. They understood that the future was going to change, even from a privacy perspective. This year, 2024, we got one of the biggest changes happening to privacy laws here in Australia. And we're fortunate to be where we are. A lot of companies now are stopping saying, oh, wow, we've got to do something. Where's our data stored? How do we use this? What do we do? We've just actually about to go live with our brand new policy, which is our ethical personalization policy, which is going to be publicly available. And it's showing out there how we collect, use, manipulate, store, and destroy data. And that's a really important part of the puzzle. So we knew the future was going to require us to do a lot more. We took the leap of faith. Yes, we did say, right, this is a big, big, big chunk of work. We got the right partners involved. We had the faith in them helping us through this journey, and they still do today, because we're always growing and we're always wanting to enhance what we've got. But it did take buy-in, and it was a year and a half worth of investigation, and then it was another 14 months to get to a stage where we could actually turn the lights on in the system, and then a 2.5 year build for the app. And I look at it now and I think back to that first meeting in the boardroom where we started the discussion about this to where we are now, and there is a really good story to tell there, and I think it's a relatable story, and I think that's what sort of helped give it profile.
Well, it's ambition meeting execution in that sense. And the buy-in helps, obviously.
Definitely. I think you've got to have conviction. I've always said this. People say, oh, you know, you tell this story so well. And I said, well, I've got conviction. I've got belief because I've seen it. I've seen the results. I've felt the pain along the way, yes, but I've seen the results. I've seen the possibilities and the opportunities. And if you really just start from a clean slate, bring the right partners in, have the right internal team working on this, you can succeed, and you can sort of see that roadmap, that journey we've been on. I mean, we get scaled annually on a CX maturity scale. And when we started right at the beginning of this in 2020, we were sitting at 1.98 out of 5. And this is sort of a questionnaire online system that rates your company based on how effective or automated your customer experience is. We went from 1.98, our last 2023 score was 4.3 out of 5. That's a big jump, especially with COVID in the middle. And it's been because we've had this focused, dedicated approach and good buy-in from key stakeholders.
So we're talking a lot about back office systems here, things that are really enabling you to deliver a front end experience. I think it'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the front end experience side of things as well. And so I'm particularly interested in maybe if you've got an example or two around how all this stuff lands at the front end side of things in terms of how you're improving how you run the venues, maybe how you're engaging with members. How those customer venue interactions happen, I guess.
Definitely. So if we look at it from a digital landscape first, and we look at email metrics, so we personalize at every digital touch point. We use those four types of data, the demographical, the transactional, the engagement, and the behavioral data to really deliver relevant, key, timely messaging to our members. And we use some really nifty, call them AI tools, to do that. Dynamic content. So our monthly emails for all our venues that go out to their individual membership bases. Pre this digital transformation journey, everybody would receive everything in that email, whether it's bingo, a concert, a food, beverage special, a beer or wine special. Even if they didn't drink beer or wine, they would get it. Whereas now the data that we've got actually transforms in real time each of the content blocks, pending who's receiving that email. And it delivers that message that's key to them. We use STO, or send time optimization. So that uses the last 90 days worth of engagement and behavioral data to determine what time of day is most likely for each individual person that's part of an email send to open that email. And it sends it over that 24-hour period to each of potentially 61,000 email addresses to the right time and second of the day that they're most likely to see it at the top of their list. These sort of things have seen us grow open rates, and open rates are great. We've gone from, I think, 22% to the mid-60% in open rates. But for me, I think it's a bit fluffy, the open rate, and I don't quite trust it. I love CTR, or click-through rates. I live by click-through rates. And we've gone from 1.9% to 11.4% in click-through rates. And for us, that's where we've seen the best results from that perspective. We implemented personalization, so Salesforce personalization, across our websites. So now, in real time, we're able to change a web experience for a known member, but also an unknown website visitor. So if they were to come to our website, one of our key venues that has really strong ticketed entertainment, they might go to the entertainment page, have a look at Daryl Braithwaite. They might look at Marsha Hines, maybe a comedian. When they go back to the homepage, the image of food has changed in real time to an entertainment call to action. Before they leave, a pop-up or a before you go campaign appears. And globally, this is an interesting fact, globally, the average click-through rate for a website pop-up is 3%. We're sitting at about 24.5% across our group. So we're about 8 times the global average. And that's because what we're delivering is actually using the power of the data that we've got on these website visitors to give them a message that's relevant to them. It may not be something they've looked at, but the breadcrumbs and the categorization puts it into a category of things that they've shown interest in and alignment to. So it delivers that key messaging to them. In venue, the app is really playing a key role. We've got a very strong loyalty program, which has a very strong points-based system. So when you spend in venue, you earn points. You can also win points in promotions, and you use those points like currencies across our venues. We've implemented gamification in the app, fully integrated back into Salesforce through Boomi, back into our point of sale system. And so people through the app can spin the wheel weekly and can win points. And we've actually seen members who've engaged with the app, we've increased their visits into venue by 1.68 times for those who've spun the wheel. So that already is getting more foot traffic in venue and enhancing their customer experience.
So you talked about click-through there. Are you able to take it a step further in terms of, say, redemption of a specific call to action that's in the email? So particularly, I'm thinking if there's an offer or something, then you're able to follow that through and see what percentage actually then take you up on what that personalization offer was?
Yeah, 100%. And this is the power of what Boomi's allowed us to do, really. This is the power of that centralized single source of data. And I think a really, really good example here is the Wiggles. Everyone loves the Wiggles. They visit our venue annually. We usually do 3 shows in one day. It is a hell of a lot of fun. And we actually ran a bit of a test campaign, and we used all of our single source of data to create a dashboard in our BI to show us what value back to the business was delivered in the first 24 hours of a Wiggles launch campaign. And we saw that we got a 4.98 times ROI back to the business. It took into account all the costs associated with that campaign launch window and all the revenue associated. What we're then able to do on the day of the shows, we know who attended because they purchased tickets. The ticketing platform's integrated as well. It's on their customer record and their profile. We then look at all the point of sale data that comes in through the day, but only people who have attended the show. And we use that to really understand the post-campaign ROI. And then we look at it, and now we can make better business decisions. Look, it's always a good decision to have the wiggles. It always is. But there's certain things we look at and think, well, is this really an effective activation or campaign or promotion? Or is there other things we could be doing that could be giving a stronger ROI? We're now able to make those decisions because we can close the customer loop. You know, I talk to my team a lot about closing the customer loop. Every activation, there should always be understanding, well, it's great that we put something on. How are you closing the customer loop? At the end of the day, how are you proving this activation was an effective one for our company and something we should be looking at doing again or replicating at other venues?
So I saw that one of the things that you're also planning to do, or maybe you're already doing, is helping floor managers to visualize staffing in some sort of relationship with the transactions and point of sale, I'm guessing. But are you able to talk a little bit about that specific use case and what that's matching up? And presumably, again, that's part powered through Boomi to enable the insight.
Yeah, definitely. So this year, we've got our future roadmap and we're going to be integrating our people platform, which is HumanForce. It manages our rostering and our internal teams. It's going to be integrated with our system through Boomi. Through Tableau, our floor managers and our operations managers are then going to be able to, and this is roughly May, June is the timeline for this. They're going to be able to, within 15-minute increments, which we're deeming real time, have a look at tills, so locations, staff members, overlay it with point of sale data and understand if there's efficiencies that can be made in real time. It gives them the power to tap staff on the shoulders and say, look, it's a little bit quieter. Would you like an early mark? A lot of them would say, yep, it's Friday night. Love to go out with some friends. That helps with efficiencies, but also it'll let them know if there's bottlenecks happening. They'll look and say, oh, there's only two staff on the main bar and there's so much transactions happening every minute. Let's get a staff member off a secondary bar and move them there. This is the sort of stuff that we want to help use this system to help our operational team members with their day-to-day systems. Even things like weather. We're going to be bringing in weather API into Tableau. We're going to overlay historical weather and, you know, future predictions, whether I trust future weather, I don't know, future predictions, but we're going to bring historical weather in. And we're then going to be able to look at real trends because we do make assumptions. We do have some outdoor venues like the Greens at North Sydney. It's very, very weather dependent. If it's a rainy day, the Greens North Sydney feels it. Here, we can overlay the historical wet weather data, but we can bring some future weather predictions in, and that can help with rostering. That can help them say, you know what, there is a forecast for showers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. We can maybe use that to help us make decisions on adjusting rosters for those days. So this is where we're going. We really want to make it as effective as we can, you know, whole of business approach to it.
Normally, I'd finish by asking you what excites you about the next 12 months. I feel like you've already partially answered that. And maybe the way to flip this around is right at the start of the conversation, you mentioned that I think it was 2022 was the year of personalization. 2023 was the year of ROI. What's 2024?
2024 is the year of AI. This is the year that we really want to double down in the AI space. And we're doing that initially through some work in our call center. So we're bringing our call center into our service cloud world. And we're then, once they've got their head around it, we're going to start bringing in the AI piece so that it can use the power of the customer data to deliver back responses, email copy, imagery that they can use to respond to inquiries or over the phone responses even, using the data and the knowledge that we've got on our customers already. So AI is going to be a big part of our roadmap this year.
That's the episode for this fortnight. Stay tuned for the next episode, and for all the latest headlines and happenings in Australian technology news, head over to itnews.com.au.